You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Today, we're diving into the heart of one of the most ecologically rich regions in the country, the Klamath Basin. Joining us is Teresa Wick, the Eastern Oregon Field Coordinator for the Bird Alliance of Oregon and the primary organizer behind Klamath Wetlands Week. The week-long engagement features a series of birding opportunities in a region long considered to be the Everglades of the West. Teresa, welcome to the Exchange.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
So tell me about Klamath Wetlands Week.
Yeah, so it is a week-long series of events that are designed to connect both locals and visitors to the basin to the diversity of wetlands are here, the birds that rely on them during the breeding season, and to highlight the partnerships in the basin that are striving to bring back some of the, you know, restore wetlands, bring back some of the hydrologic connectivity and things like that. So trying to really showcase this very important resource that we have here and the really cool partnerships that are happening to, you know, support those that resource and the species that depend on them.
So what inspired this?
So I had lived in the Klamath Basin from 2016 to 2018, and I moved away to Harney County for the job that I have now. And then I moved back in January of 2025. And when I moved back, the thing that I noticed is that there was a lot of community interest in bringing back the Winter Wings Festival that Klamath Basin Audubon Society used to host. Their last year of running Winter Wings was in 2023. And while I appreciate the large number of migratory birds that are here in February, one of the things that I really love about the basin is the amount of life that you see in the wetlands during the breeding season. So I was really interested in the idea of bringing back a festival of some sort that might bring birders back to the basin, in part because that is something the community was interested in. But I was interested in doing it at a time of year where the weather is a little more reliable, and also at a time of year where we could really showcase the value of the wetlands to both the breeding birds and to the community at large.
For our listeners who may be unfamiliar with the Klamath Basin and the kind of migratory patterns that you're talking about with birds, can you give me a sense of how big the Klamath Basin is and how many birds are populating the area at what time of year?
Oh, that's a great question. So the Klamath River itself is over 250 miles long. The headwaters of the Wood River are up. They're not actually in Crater Lake or near Crater Lake, they're near Crater Lake, but like they're not part of the Crater Lake hydrology, if that makes sense. But so the river starts up in the mountains near Crater Lake-ish and then flows all the way through Klamath Falls, down across the Oregon border into California, and then the mouth of it is down near Klamath, California. And so the really large, a really long river and has a really large watershed. And the birds, so historically there were, the estimates are about 300,000 acres of wetlands, which is part of why it was known as the Everglades of the West. It's a lot of wetland acres, a lot of birds relied on the basin. The largest count ever of migratory waterfowl was over 5 million birds. And so a lot of birds, particularly waterfowl, stop over in the Klamath Basin. Either they're here to molt and then they move on, or they stay for the winter. And so we see, it's an interesting pattern. So like the winter, I would say the birding is really great for geese, you know, like snow geese, Ross's geese, potentially greater white-fronted geese, and then a variety of duck species. And then around, it depends on the year, but February-ish, the Santo cranes come in. And so you can see large numbers of Santo cranes in the basin. And then our breeding birds start arriving. So that's when you start to see more grebes and some of the water birds that are really cool, like white-faced ibis and songbirds and things like that, start arriving in the summer. So it shifts a bit. It's still really important for breeding waterfowl, but the waterfowl numbers peak, right around January, February-ish.
Gotcha. So what's the primary goal?
Of Wetlands Week?
Yeah.
I would say the goal is probably multifaceted. So, my biggest goal, ultimately, is just to connect people to the wetlands in the basin and to the fact that, birds rely on a diversity of wetland types. We did a white-faced ibis flyout yesterday, we met at 5 o'clock down at Lower Klamath National Wildlife Refuge and counted ibis as they flew out of their colony. And it's pretty awe-inspiring. We counted over 7,500 white-faced ibis. And, it's a pretty cool thing to see and to make that connection to the wetland and to the value of it. Secondarily, my goal is to be able to showcase and connect people both locally and, stakeholders from around the region to the very, very cool restoration work that is happening here. I think that the community should be proud of the cool partnerships and the really neat restoration projects that are happening. And so that's kind of my secondary goal.
Well, I want to get into the partnerships and the restoration projects, but you mentioned the white-faced ibis flyout. Tell me what that looks like. How many people are in part of the group? Give me a picture of what's happening and what you're experiencing.
Yeah, so yesterday we had 3 people that joined me to go to the white-faced ibis flyout. And, the ibis actually start flying out about 40 minutes before sunrise. So when they first start, they're actually pretty hard to see. I described it to somebody yesterday as, if you have a smudge on your glasses, sometimes that's how they look when they first start flying out in groups, because it's just like the lighting is just dim enough that it almost feels like you're imagining things when you see them. But once it's light enough to actually see them, they fly out in groups. Sometimes they form flocks of 70-ish birds. Sometimes they fly out in smaller flocks, but there are multiple flocks flying out at a time. So at one point we had about 500 white-faced ibis in different sized groups flying out toward the ag fields mostly at the same time. So it was a pretty cool thing to see.
My guest is Teresa Wick from the Bird Alliance. From the Bird Alliance of Oregon. She's the organizer of Klamath Wetlands Week. Now, Teresa, looking back at the event schedule, the list of partners is huge. I mean, you have the Modoc Nation, you've got U.S. Fish and Wildlife, you've got local businesses like the Running Y Ranch and Klamath Grown. Tell me about the partnership between private landowners, tribes, government agencies, all in the work of wetlands restoration.
Yeah, so there are multiple working groups or partnerships around the basin, and they're kind of sub-basin specific. So there's an upper basin group, there's a Sprague River specific group, there's a group that's working on the Lower Klamath National Wildlife Refuge in that region. And all of these groups have people that participate in the conversations, in the planning, in the restoration work that include federal partners, tribal representatives, water users, people from NGOs. I attend a lot of these working group meetings. And so they're a really diverse assortment of people representing a lot of different perspectives that are all working together to try to make these restoration efforts successful, both for the community and the water users, and also for the wildlife, like the fish and birds that depend on them.
Well, tell me about the significance of the Modoc Nation's reconnection and restoration efforts.
Yeah, so the Modoc Nation, the Modoc Nation is federally recognized as a tribe in Oklahoma. They are the band of Modoc who were removed to Oklahoma after the Modoc War. And they started a homelands project, and I was just on the tour yesterday, and I can't remember what year they started it, but they started working on acquiring property to create space where members of the Modoc Nation can come and reconnect with their first foods like locusts and with their homelands, you know, in a space where they get to help shape the or dictate the shape of what that like reconnection and restoration looks like.
How do you bridge the gap between active agricultural operations and these vibrant bird habitats?
I think, you know, it depends a bit on where you are in the basin and the time of year. So, for example, Klamath Drainage District is pretty involved in fall flood irrigation, and they've got the, you know, the water rights to do that, and they work with partners like the refuge and provide that fall migratory bird habitat. There are also people in the upper basin that have wetlands that are part of wetland easements. So they, you know, especially if they're like a federal wetland easement, then they are a wetland that stays a wetland, theoretically in perpetuity. So even if they sell the land, that wetland stays a wetland. And then they have operations, whether they be cattle operations or, well, I guess they're mostly cattle operations in those instances. But yeah, so they, it varies a lot depending on where you are in the basin as to what the work, you know, what they're growing or what the work they're doing is, and then how the wetland restoration and ecological benefits are expressed for wildlife.
Well, tell me about the Barns and Agency Reconnection Project.
Yeah, so the Barns and Agency Reconnection Project is the largest freshwater wetland restoration project in the West. I've heard different quotes on that. Some people say it's the largest in North America. I know it's the largest in the West. And it reconnected a part of the floodplain and historic footprint of the Upper Klamath Agency Lake area that had been disconnected from the lake for over 100 years. And so the reconnection project or restoration project is a multi-phase project. The first phase was essentially breaching the levees so the water could get back in and inundate that historic wetland. And then the other phases include some other restoration projects that have private land partners adjacent to the wetland that are working with Ducks Unlimited, the Fish and Wildlife Service, and some other NGO and partner other partners, and also with the Klamath Tribes.
Well, I noticed you have a lot of events throughout the week, and most of them involve caravans or carpooling. How should people prepare for a day out in the basin, and where can they go to register?
So if they're coming out for a day in general, always good to make sure that once you get to the Klamath Basin, you have a full tank of gas, because while there are gas stations in lots of the small communities outside of Klamath Falls, it's not always the distance you're driving is not always obvious, if that makes sense. The landscape is so big that it's helpful to make sure you have a full tank of gas. You know, water, food. Right now, the mosquitoes are finally coming out, so insect repellent if you don't want to be eaten up. For Wetlands Week, we do, you know, we're recommending that people make sure they have water, because a lot of the sites don't have access to water. And then, you know, sunscreen, bug repellent, things like that. The website that has the list of all the events and links to register is, it's a really long web address, but if you search Klamath Wetlands Week, it will come up. It'll be the first link that comes up on the internet. The page is hosted by Bird Alliance of Oregon. And so it is within our program pages. There's a link to the Klamath Wetlands Week. And then we also have a Facebook page that's just Klamath Wetlands Week.
Okay, really quick, we've got about 30 seconds left. Beyond birding, you've included events like wildlife conservation photography, family science night, and even a birding for health walk.
Yeah, so our goal is to try to reach people, not just birders, because we think there's value in connecting everybody to the wetlands. So we tried to provide diverse opportunities to engage as many people as possible.
Okay, well, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Have a good day.